Hey, good morning, Journey. We're going to consider why it matters that we are people of the good news. Recently, Marcy and I were watching the Reflection Concert by Carrie Underwood, held in one of the great entertainment venues of Las Vegas, packed with 5,000 people. And we had seen her here a few years ago at the Brick Breeden and have always enjoyed her music and her energy. But she startled us partway through the concert at the tail end of a song. She burst out into "How Great Thou Art," one of the most well-known gospel songs in America. Here in a Las Vegas showroom with all the glitz going on around, she triumphantly and joyfully sang, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." I thought as I was watching that concert that here in this Las Vegas showroom, she had decided she was going to be one of the people of the good news. And we're in a troubling and uncertain time. We reel from confusion to frustration to despair. Some of us who are Minnesota Vikings fans more than others. And often the only responses that seem appropriate are anger or raw power. Some run and hide. Others pretend as if nothing's happening, hope it doesn't touch them. Some fight and thrash about. But there is another option. If we call Jesus our Lord, we are called to be people of the good news. It is an oddly simple phrase, but it is the meaning of the word gospel. Mark 1:1 begins his gospel, the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are given four records of that gospel: Matthew's record, Mark's record, Luke's record, John's record. God does not want us to miss this declaration of good news. And Paul carries it through into Romans. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of this good news, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." And then we see in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angels are telling the shepherds, who were nobodies, nobodies, poor people with no social standing, and yet the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people." And so, like Carrie Underwood and many others, we can rise each morning and decide that we are going to be people that bring good news. Paul in 1 Corinthians said, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love." That word abideth means stands the test of time. The thing that stands the test of time is faith, hope, and love. And we can become purveyors of these commodities. You can become like a shade of a palm tree standing by a spring in the boiling hot desert of the daily news, offering solace and hope and kindness and resolve. You may not feel like you can change the world, but you can infuse your network of relationships and your sphere of influence with that kind of hope. And these are great times to decide we are going to be traffickers of hope. My wife babysat a young preschool child while her mother worked at the school across the street. Eventually, this young girl grew up, married, became a teacher, and had just had a baby. When she felt like she might be getting the cold, and so she went to see the doctor and found out she had cancer instead. As I speak, she and her family are in Houston, Texas. Having been there for weeks, fighting. It's life or death. We get regular updates from these dear, dear people. And yesterday, in the face of less than hoped for news, a family member wrote, "We need a win." She could just as easily have said, we need some good news. There can't be 1,000 people in a room, hundreds online, without some of us echoing that in our own spirit, even as I've said it. I need a win. I need some good news. I've lived through the era of the Vietnam War, the drugs and hippie movement, the Watergate political scandals, the racial protests in the South and West, the Cold War, the assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, the campus riots. Now I'm nearly 75, and I don't believe I have ever lived in a time where the unique and powerful call of the gospel, that good news, and the kingdom of an alternative reality founded by Jesus Christ looks more attractive than it does today. And if you hear no other sentence this morning than this, hear this sentence. When the last alternative option to Jesus Christ has been exploded and shown for its true bankruptcy, the name of Jesus takes on an incredible allure and an unearthly power. But if you want to be a person of good news, you and I have four choices to make. Here's the first one. We need to learn to trust the message of the good news. Paul said to Titus, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. You and I may have different stories, and so we may have different points of struggle. I had troubles trusting the good news. I grew up going to church, but I went to an anemic church. Small, ineffective, eyes not on the ball. When I come on a Sunday morning and it's Baptism Sunday here, I usually sit near the back there and weep through the whole thing. There were no such Sundays in the church I grew up in. Hardly any baptisms, very few people coming to Christ. People prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and it appeared to me that nothing happened as I watched on as a boy and then a high schooler. And so when I was confronted with the idea that I needed to trust the power of this message, I hadn't seen the strength of this message. And it took me a while to get there, and maybe it will take you a while to get there too. But to become a person of the good news, we have to allow a growing confidence in the power and the truth and the grace of this message permeate our lives. You might wonder, what difference can it make? It's just words. My answer would be hardly. God's kingdom, coming in the person of Jesus, came in the flesh and blood, growing up in a country in conflict, just as it is in conflict now. He grew up in a world of poverty and abuse and hopelessness, and his invasion into the real world caused many of his followers to follow suit. Amy Carmichael was unsure what to do with her life. She began to minister in India. Before long, she discovered a whole group of small young girls who had been sold into temple prostitution, and dozens and dozens and dozens became her wards as she cared for them and loved them and restored their confidence in the love of God. Sometimes as many as 800 girls at a time she would care for in the name of Jesus. Wilberforce every year would stand on the floor of the parliaments of England and introduce a bill for the abolition of slavery. And every time it would be handily defeated, But year after year after year after year did he introduce such bills until finally the rightness of that cause and the hearts of good men decided it was time and that foul enterprise was destroyed. For a little ministry that I work with in Southeast Asia, who discovered during COVID that a network of brothels where 1,500 sex workers lived along with their children, that in that network, because of COVID and no personal contact, these women and their children were starving to death. And so this band of Christians gathered others together and they got permission and they began to bring food to these workers week after week, after month after month. And having earned such trust, they got permission to establish a daycare center for the children of these workers. And then they began to teach and train them, educate them, give them language and grammar and the Bible. This is a robust message, a message that invades evil with a power that comes from the risen Christ. You and I must learn to trust this message if we're to be people of the good news. But secondly, we must be devoted or captured by the good news. Psalm 1 says, blessed or happy is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and he meditates on this law day and night. Now I was watching the Waste Management PGA Golf Tournament in Scottsdale, Arizona yesterday. Now it's unlike any golf tournament in the United States. You know, normally you go to a sporting event, like you go watch the Bobcats play and there's 2,000 people screaming. Go to a football game, there's 15,000 people screaming. Go to a golf match and they got a whisper. I think, what's wrong with these people? They got no concentration at all? But at the Waste Management, they allow crazy. And on the 16th hole, a par three hole, a three-story structure encases the entire hole, and there are thousands and thousands of people at that hole, and they are yelling and screaming, and if the golfer doesn't get it close to the hole, they boo them. I mean, it's a hoot. Yesterday, these golfers are golfing in groups of three. Three golfers all land the first shot on the green, but there's 10, 15, 20-foot putts. And then one after another, they sink these unbelievably long putts. And the crowd just goes wild, as if they weren't wild enough as it was. And I watched that occur, that pandemonium and excitement and joy. And I thought, this kind of joy is only reserved for those who are devoted at the level those golfers are devoted to that skill. There are things in given arenas, only the people devoted to it can experience the depth and power that is available. And if you and I want to experience the power of that good news, we need to be devoted to that good news. It's not good news just for a rainy day. It is good news. It is the invisible kingdom of God enfolded into every institution and activity of our world. So you and I need to trust that message and be devoted to that message. And we need to let that good news transform us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active. It's discerning the thoughts and even the intentions of your heart. To understand the good news but not let it change us is like going to a restaurant and just reading the menu. The menu tells me what's true, but I need to digest it. the food that is on that menu. I need to experience it. Marcy and I enjoy the Olympics, and we enjoyed the recent Paris Olympics. Every Olympics, there are some unique and special events that always stand out. The human interest stories that are amazing, and the Paris Olympics was no different. My favorite was the 800-meter women's swimming finals. That finals featured Katie Ledecky, the great, great woman swimmer from America, and Ariane Titmus, the juggernaut from Australia. And they were favored to go 1 and 2. And then, you know, the announcers, in order to mention anybody else who might matter, says, and in lane 6 will be Paige Badden. Well, you know that there's Ledecky and Titmus, and they have to mention Badden. Well, as expected, Ledecky wins the 800 meter. Now, it's a grueling race. It's 16 lengths of the pool or 8 laps. But Ledecky wins. Titmus takes silver. But out of nowhere, Paige Madden wins the bronze. After the race, Ledecky and Madden are standing side by side at poolside being interviewed. And Madden cannot speak. She is weeping and weeping and weeping. Finally, she blurts out, I didn't know I had that time in me. And I thought, there's got to be something behind this story. And so I did a little research. Paige Madden comes from Mobile, Alabama. She had had some success in swimming. She had won a silver medal at the Tokyo Olympics. But by the worlds, 2 years later, she didn't even qualify to go. And she decided that her swimming career was done. It had been uphill anyway, not easy. Paige Madden struggles with Hashimoto's disease, two of the symptoms of which are energy loss and muscle weakness. Can you imagine trying to be an Olympic level swimmer and fighting every day energy loss and muscle weakness? And while this disease mostly attacks women, it's often when they're middle-aged or older. Paige got this disease at the age of 13. But her family and friends urged her to reconsider and try out for the Paris Olympics. This was a decision she had to make on her own. And finally, this was the basis for her decision. In her words, she thought, if by my swimming I could encourage just one little girl or a 10-year-old boy struggling with my disease or some other malady, and it would help them not to give up on their dream, then it would be worth giving the summer to it. You already see what's happening, don't you? She had a righteous goal to swim her best, even to win a medal. But now that goal has been infused by her personal story. And something very miraculous happened. The fastest Paige had ever swam the 800 was in 8 minutes, 27 seconds. She went into the Nationals in order to get to the Olympics and clocked a time of 8 minutes, 20 seconds. 7 full seconds off of her best time. Keep in mind that this is a sport that measures performance by 1/100th of a second. She carved 7 seconds off. She qualified for the Olympics. And in the qualifying heats at the Olympics, she swam it in 8 minutes and 18 seconds, shaving off another 2 full seconds from her best time ever. And in that final match with Ledecky and Titmus, she swam that in 8 minutes. And 14 seconds. She had shaved off 14 seconds from her time in just a few weeks. 7 seconds, 2 more seconds, 5 more seconds. And when we were watching her stand by that poolside, here was a young woman who couldn't believe what she had done. And the only thing that had changed is that her righteous goals have been infused with her personal journey. And when you and I want to talk about the good news, it's got to be good news to us when we needed good news. And so Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so we need to trust that good news and be devoted to that good news. But we also need to engage in risks for the good news. Now, here's what a risk is. A risk is something in which we cannot ensure the outcome. You cannot ensure the outcome. Secondly, something you value may be lost. That's when it becomes a risk. I cannot ensure the outcome, and I might lose something I value. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talking about his life of ministry. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. I'm not sure I would travel with this man. Hey, you want to hang out? But you know, I try to hang around risk takers more than I used to. I try to hang around risk takers more than I used to. Vince Lombardi said there's something in a human who wants to so live that they lay exhausted and dirty on the field of battle, knowing they have expended every ounce of energy for a cause that is good. I need to trust that good news. I need to be devoted to that good news. I need to let that good news transform me, and I need to be willing to take risks for that good news if it's really good. So let's end where we began with Carrie Underwood. At the end of the concert, she leaves the stage. Naturally, the 5,000 people are stomping and screaming. They want an encore, and she comes back out. As she comes out onto the stage, there's 2 massive panels, one on either side of her, maybe 20 feet or more high, with large, what appears to be large nails in the panels, and people, perhaps acrobats, laying across the nails. She's standing on a platform about another 10 feet above the stage, and right behind her is a waterfall. And she begins to sing. I noticed as the camera came from one angle, I thought, she's getting wet from that water. Marcy turned to me and said, she's singing about baptism. And so she sang in this Las Vegas showroom. He said, I've been where you've been before, down every hallway's a slamming door, no way out, no one to come and save me. wasting a life the good Lord gave me. Then someone said, what I'm saying to you, opened my eyes and told me the truth. They said, just a little faith and it'll all get better. So I followed that preacher man down to the river. And now I'm changed and now I'm stronger. There must have been something in the water. There must have been something in the water. And well, I heard what he said and I went on my way, didn't think much about it for a couple of days. Then it hit me like a lightning late one night. I was all out of hope and all out of fight. I couldn't fight back the tears, so I fell on my knees saying, God, if you are there, come and rescue me. Felt love pouring down from above, got washed in the water and washed in the blood. And now I'm changed and now I'm stronger. There must be something in the water. There must be something in the water. And now I'm singing along to Amazing Grace. Can't nobody wipe the smile off my face. Got joy in my heart and angels on my side. Thank God Almighty, I saw the light. Gonna look ahead, not turning back. Live every day, give it all that I have. Trust in someone bigger than me. Ever since the day that I believed, I'm changed now and I'm stronger. There must be something in the water. And as she sang, standing on that platform in a flowing gown, her gown was drenched with water. Her hair began to mat down as the water cascaded over her scalp. And in that Las Vegas showroom, she was standing as a living example of the redemption of Jesus Christ and the baptism in his blood and water. And she was saying to everyone who's streaming it and who was watching it that night, I've decided I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them people of the good news. No tipping of the hat. No just giving God a nod. I want to be one of them. And you and I can leave this place determined by God's grace that we're going to be one of them. For as long as God gives us breath in this crazy world we find ourselves, we are going to be people of the good news. We are going to traffic in faith and in hope and in love. Let's bow our heads. Father, give us resolve this morning to give ourselves to something so far bigger than just ourselves. To be traffickers of hope by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be one of them, one of those people of the good news. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.